We're not going to be looking through Romans 8 in specific detail, but we'll be referring to it. The sermon that I'm preaching was part of a series on the work of the Holy Spirit. But I thought it would be good for us to finish our series in the fruit of the Spirit by looking again at the Holy Spirit Himself. In Genesis chapter 1, God says, "Let us make man in our image." In Genesis 2, He takes the dust of the earth and He forms it into the form of man. He breathes into its nostrils and gives it the breath of life. And the man becomes a living being. Man is made in the image of God. Man is made to know God. And then in chapter 3, Satan comes along and tells an outrageous lie to Eve. He says, "You could be like God." Sure. Eve should have said, "I've been made in the image of God. I've been made to know God. I've been made to enjoy Him. I am like Him as I can be." But no, Eve fell for it, and Adam fell for it, and they plunged the human race into a downward spiral of, as it were, the vandalism and the destruction of the image of God in us. But God, in His wonderful mercy, reaches down into this downward spiral. In fact, He doesn't reach down into it. He sends His Son down into it, who comes down into the depths of this downward spiral of destruction and death and decay. And the Son comes down to lift us out of that downward spiral. And He comes and He takes our sin on Himself. He takes the punishment so that we can be forgiven. And as it were, He hoists us up out of that downward spiral that had been vandalizing the image of God in us. And then God, as it were, not content with just simply to lift us out of the downward spiral, God the Son sends the Holy Spirit to start to work in us, to take us on an upward spiral, to make us more and more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been looking at the last number of weeks. We've been looking at this work of the Holy Spirit, the artist painting in our lives this great portrait. And we've looked in particular at the fruit of the Spirit in the life of Jesus. And we've seen them in their most pure and perfect form. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. How wonderful it has been to see that. And yet, in looking simply at the portrait, we could be overwhelmed. We can hear those 9 facets of the fruit of the Spirit, those 9 colours on the Holy Spirit's palette with which He's painting this portrait. And we can see how those colours blend and mix to create new hues and new shades and tints. And we could say, "But I can't be like that. I can't be like that. I'm not as loving and as peaceful and as gentle and as patient and as kind and as good and as faithful and as self-controlled as I should be." And we could come away from this series really discouraged. And it should highlight for us our failures and our shortcomings. It should show us the work that still needs to be done. I had what I thought was a great comment from an elderly man in the Milford congregation. A lovely, lovely Christian gentleman who said, "So much work still to be done. So much work still to be done." I thought, well, there's a man that you would have thought could have sat back and said, "Well, I've made a lot of progress in the Christian life," but no, he wasn't taking that approach. But to save us from being discouraged, we need to turn away from the portrait and to look at the artist who's painting it. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look at the Holy Spirit and see that it's His work. That it's His work. And there's 3 things that we want to see about the Holy Spirit this morning. First of all, there's the foundation to the fruit of the Spirit. And that foundation is that the Holy Spirit assures you that you belong, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit assures you that you belong to Christ. The Holy Spirit assures you that you belong to Christ. The essence of Christianity is not our self-effort, our self-improvement. It's the wonderful truth that Jesus has done everything needed for us to become part of God's family. But in some ways, that can make it hard for us, because our natural inclination is to look at ourselves and see how we're doing. And because it's about what Jesus has done, and we're so short-sighted, we look at ourselves, we can become easily discouraged. But God in His kindness has sent the Holy Spirit. And the task of the Holy Spirit is to reassure you that what Christ did 2,000 years ago is for you. It's for you. That's what we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, or verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. You received the spirit of sonship. Whenever you put your trust in God the Son, God the Father adopts you. But He hasn't taken you home yet. He's adopted you and brought you into His family. You're part of His family circle now. You're one of His children. But you're not in His house yet. You live here. And so God, your Father, lovingly sends the Holy Spirit to reassure you that while you are far from home, you belong to His family. And He reassures us that we belong despite our shortcomings. He reassures us that we belong despite the fact that we have contributed nothing. He reassures us that Christ's sacrifice 2,000 years ago is for us. He reassures us that trust in Christ is sufficient. And this is for all Christians. Sinclair Ferguson writes, "The assurance of sonship is not reserved for the highly sanctified or the highly holy Christian, but is the birthright of even the weakest and most oppressed believer." It's the birthright of the weakest and the most oppressed believer. As we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, it could be easy for us to go away and say, "I fall so far short. I am such a failure. I'm such a sinner." And this morning, I don't want to desensitize your conscience. That's a good thing, that our consciences are being made more sensitive by the Word of God. That's useful. That's necessary. But I want to resensitize your heart. I want to resensitize your heart so that you hear the Spirit saying, not just that, yes, you're falling short, but you hear also the Spirit saying, you belong. And even though you're falling short, you still belong. God still loves you. God still delights in you. God still treats you as His child. It's not my task to tell you and to assure you that you're a Christian. It's the Holy Spirit's task. If you're struggling with that, you're struggling with it, as we've looked perhaps at the fruit of the Spirit, you're struggling with it as perhaps different sin in your life is seeking to come in on you and to discourage you. Temptation is bombarding you. Go to the Holy Spirit and say, "Show me, remind me, God, that I belong to You, that I'm Yours." As you read God's Word, as you listen, as you pray, ask Him to make it clear to you that you belong. In Romans 8, we have this evidence that's given that we cry out, "Abba, Father." You know, everybody prays when they're in trouble. So it's not saying that whenever you're in trouble and you cry out to God, that's a proof that you're a Christian. But it's how we cry. Do we cry out as a child coming to a father? Or do we cry out as a customer walking in to a shop and putting our money down on the counter and saying, "I'll have those, and here's what I'm prepared to give You for them"? That's often how people pray. "Lord, if You get me out of this jam, I'll do this and this for You." No. That's not coming in and saying, "Father." Sometimes, in the midst of difficulty, even as you're praying to God to make it clear to you, listen to how you're praying. And realize, hold, I'm coming, even as I'm praying, I'm coming as a child to a father. I'm not coming to barter or bargain with God. God, if you assure me that I'm your child, then I'll do this, this, and this for you. You're coming and saying, Father, I need to know, I want to know that I belong. Will you make it clear to me that I'm yours? And even as you're coming to Him in the midst of difficulty, it's the Spirit who's enabling you to come as a child to a father. Not coming to bargain and to barter, but coming knowing that a father will hear and listen. And this assurance that the Holy Spirit gives is helpful. It's a helpful foundation for the fruit of the Spirit, because, and for growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Because to grow, we need to confront that we are not what we should be. We have to see that. But it's in the atmosphere of a loving family from which we will not be expelled. And it's in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit saying to us, you belong. I will bear witness with your heart that you're a child of God. It's in that atmosphere that we are free to say, you know, I could be more loving, and I could definitely be more patient, and I could be kinder and gentler, and I could have more self-control. And we can admit these things, and we can seek to move on and to grow. So the Holy Spirit assures us that we belong. Secondly, the Holy Spirit makes us increasingly like Christ. The Holy Spirit makes us increasingly like Christ. If in the first point we were thinking of the Holy Spirit as a communicator, in this point we're seeing Him as a craftsman, as an artisan, somebody skilled and working at us. We know from the Gospel that we don't have to tidy up our lives to reach an initial acceptance with God. We know that God loves us, even though we're sinful. He loves us enough to send His Son for us. He loves us as we are. But He loves us too much to leave us as we are. And so God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to start to change us. Those He loves, those He forgives, He also changes. And that answers the question that some of you may have, and that a lot of religious people have. They say it sounds too easy. That if Jesus just forgives you. Sure, if Jesus just forgives you, then you can live as you like. But they don't understand that the people that Jesus forgives, He loves them so much that He will start to change them. And He will start to work in their lives so that they are not continuing on in sin. Religion says you have to behave first so that you can belong. The good news of the Gospel is that we belong first, and then God helps us to behave. There's the kindness of God. There's the kindness of God. But He does help us to behave. He does help us to change. The Holy Spirit, this is His role. Christ pays for us to become sons of God. And the Holy Spirit works in us to make us like the Son of God. There's this wonderful thing that happens in the Trinity. The Son loves the Father so much that He comes here and He lives in such a way that He says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father's like? You look at Me. All of those sermons that we've looked at on the different characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, and we've seen them in the life of Jesus, that's a portrait not just of Jesus, but of your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is like that. But not only does the Son love the Father so much that He portrays to you what the Father's like, the Spirit loves the Son so much that He works in you to make you like the one He loves the most, to make you like the Father and the Son. He's making you like Christ. That's what we read in Romans 8:29. For God, those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Here's, in a sense, the end point of the story. In Genesis 1, we are made in the likeness of God. In Genesis 3, that likeness is defaced and vandalized. But then God the Son comes and He takes us from going away from God to turning back towards God, and He sends the Holy Spirit to come and to complete that restoration of the image of God in us. He's making us Christ-like. That doesn't mean He's making us like God the Son in His divinity and His divine nature. We're not going to be working miracles. We're not going to declare things to come into existence. We'll still be humans when He's finished His perfect work. And there will still only be one God. But He's making us like Christ in His glorious, perfect humanity. How does He do this? The illustration I've used before is that of cutting a key. When I was a nipper, I used to go with my father around to the local hardware shop, and he would go and get things, and I would stand and watch them cutting keys. They would put the master key into its holder, and they would take a blank key and put it into its holder. And then they would take a little guide, and they would move it along the ridges and the valleys of the master key. And the grinding wheel over here would follow along in perfect parallel, and it would cut those ridges and notches and valleys into the new key. It would remove all the unnecessary material. And the Holy Spirit is like that with us. He follows along the characteristics, the facets of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And He holds against our lives the grinding disc of God's Word. God's Word preached, God's Word read, God's Word lived out in your fellow believers. Sometimes as they live it out, and you see them and you think, I'm not like that. The Holy Spirit is holding the grinding disc of God's Word lived out against your life. You say, I need to be like that, because that is being like Christ. Sometimes it's the grinding disc of circumstances understood through God's Word. And He's using circumstances to remove the excess material, to remove the bits that aren't like Christ. He's working in us. He chips away. It takes time. It's far more complex than simply a key. If you could take that and step it up several levels. If you can imagine, I had a device when I was young that you put a pencil in here and you followed over here on a picture. And no matter how intricate the picture was, you could, by following here, copy it over here. Far more complex than a key. But imagine if you could another device that would take a three-dimensional image like a statue, and you would move over it with a little pointer, and over here a chisel would chisel away a dirty big block of stone, replicating in three dimensions the wonder and the beauty and the artistry of this image here. Would it be appearing over here? Take that and move it up a level again to the wonderful intricacy of the Son of God. And all of those emotions and the overlay of them and all of those characteristics and how they work so perfectly. The Holy Spirit is looking at the Son of God, and He's chiseling away at our lives in all its dimensions, making us more like Him. How does He do it? He gives us, there's three things. He gives us new desires. He gives us new desires. Have you noticed in yourself that you're desiring different things? As we went through the series on the fruit of the Spirit, did you find yourself saying, yes, I want to be like this. I want more love. I want more joy. I want more patience. I want more self-control. I want more meekness. That's the Spirit working in you, giving you new desires. It's lovely. Here's our great, kind God. He doesn't just forgive us and then say, now you've got to be like Jesus. He starts to help us. He gives us those desires to be like Him. Desires to leave behind an old way of life. Desires to take on these fruit. Challenging our errors, our faults, exposing them. And we see them for what they are and we think, no, I don't want to be like that anymore. He gives us new desires. I see that in Romans 8, in verse 5 and following. It says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. New desires. He gives us also new power. Here's the kindness of our God yet again. As you've thought about the fruit of the Spirit, those aren't simply just a checklist of things that you have to do. That is the palette with which the Holy Spirit is painting. That is something He is seeking to grow in your life. He gives us new power. Look at Romans 8 and verse 13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. Galatians 5, that chapter from which the fruit of the Spirit come, where Paul lists them, says it speaks of walking by the Spirit. Not just walking with the Spirit alongside Him, but walking by Him. He's the one who enables us. So as we think of the fruit of the Spirit, they're not just something to aim for, as if we're the only ones aiming for it. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us. We saw this last week as we thought of self-control, but it's true of all of them. In all of our battles, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. We can't change ourselves, not at this inner level. He comes to help us. That doesn't mean we sit back. Romans 8:13 shows this perfect balance. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. If by the Spirit you do it. It's us working with the Spirit's help. As we work, the Spirit works. As we consciously turn from wrong, and as we seek to wield the axe at the root of sin, the Spirit helps us. His power enables us to do that. There's no shortcuts that we can take. Sometimes we can think that God should airlift us out of either whether it's a problem or whether it's a personality trait that we're seeking hard to change, and that we want Him to airlift us out of it. And sometimes He does. But often He doesn't. Often He leaves us to battle in it, because in the battle He is doing so many other things. You can even think of the fruit of the Spirit, and how if you're battling with patience and wanting to be more patient, you're saying, God, if you just not work a miracle and make me instantly patient. But as He's doing that, He's helping you to grow in kindness. He's helping you to grow in goodness. He's helping you to grow in love for those that you don't particularly want to love. He's helping you to grow in joy, a joy that's not rooted in your circumstances, but a joy that's rooted in Him. He's teaching you self-control. He's teaching you gentleness. He's teaching you kindness and goodness. So don't panic. Don't think, oh, I'm not making the swift rate of progress I want here. Keep seeking the Holy Spirit's help and power, trusting His timing and His work, that He is helping, but He's doing even more than you had asked or even imagined. The Holy Spirit gives us new power. He gives us new desires, new power, and He develops new qualities. He develops new qualities. Here's the kindness of God. Here's why Christianity is good news. It's not good, just good news for the moment you start the Christian life, that, oh, Jesus has paid for all your sins. That's good news. But the gospel is the whole package. It's good news from start to finish. It's good news in that God doesn't simply wipe the slate clean and say, look, I've wiped the slate clean, isn't that wonderful? He keeps on wiping the slate clean. He keeps on forgiving us. But then He sends the Holy Spirit to keep on helping us to live the Christian life. New desires, new power, and new qualities. He doesn't stop there and say, well, I've given you desires. I've given you the wherewithal to get there. I'm going to stand back and watch, see how you get on. He comes and He helps. He causes these characteristics to grow in us, to develop in us. They are the fruit of the Spirit. They are the consequence, the inevitable consequence of the Holy Spirit being in the life of a Christian, and that Christian hearing God's Word and turning from sin and following the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding in God's Word. An inevitable consequence. We've got to follow along. We'll see that in a moment. But here's what He's doing. Here's what He's doing in us. He's developing new qualities. In some ways, we could be misled by some of the wilder Pentecostal or charismatic Christians who look for spectacular things as proof of the Spirit's presence. But as I said last week, here is the proof of the Spirit's presence. We may feel that it's not very spectacular. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But it's the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He was also portraying to us what His Father looks like, we are having worked in us the image of the Father and the Son. That is spectacular. These qualities are staggering and wonderful. The Holy Spirit makes us more like Christ. And remember that our progress doesn't define our position. Our progress does not define our position. We are sons. Not because we look like Jesus, but because of Jesus. Jesus comes and does everything necessary for us to come into the family. Satan would have us look at our poor reflection of Jesus and go, "I'm such a failure." The Holy Spirit's not finished yet. Not finished yet. But Christ is finished. You're part of the family. That's why John says in 1 John 3, he says, "Behold, what manner or what kind of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. So be encouraged that you belong. Be encouraged that the Spirit is there to help you. And then the third thing that the Spirit does is the Spirit maintains our communication with Christ. The Spirit maintains our communication with Christ. How does this Christ-likeness happen? We've seen, in a sense, the Holy Spirit's side of it and His specific work. But this happens. How does the master key, how does its image get transferred to the duplicate key, the copy? It's as there's constant contact between the master key and the duplicate keys through the grinding wheel. The grinding wheel that the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. It may be circumstances, but those circumstances need to be given light, illuminated by the Word of God. But it's the Word of God that the Spirit uses. He uses the Word of God to communicate, to maintain constant communication between God and us. The Holy Spirit is the communications officer. He helps us to take in God's Word. He helps us not just to read God's Word and hear it, but to apply it. He helps us to hear it so that we see what we need to live like. So that we have new desires. So that even as we're reading it, we get encouraged and we have new strength for the battle. As we read God's Word, He reassures us that we belong. And so we need to keep on taking in God's Word as we seek to become like the Son. It's His method of working. We need to stay close to God's Word. What happens if we drop the third point? Is that we start to struggle in the second point, in becoming more like Jesus. And whenever we drop the third point of staying close to God's Word, letting the Holy Spirit communicate with us through the Word of God, then we start to struggle in growing like God the Son, and then we start to struggle even more in understanding, in believing that we belong that we are sons and daughters of God. So we need to stay in constant communication, and God has sent His Holy Spirit to help us with this too. So that these are not simply words on a page. This is living. This is God speaking to us. Sometimes people say, oh, God spoke to me this morning. As if whenever they read the Bible yesterday, He didn't speak to them. God is always speaking to us through His Word. Sometimes He really shouts at us so that it's really clear, but He's always speaking to us. Not only so, but He sends the Holy Spirit to help us to communicate back to God. We read in Romans 8, in verse 26, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And Paul gives an example of our weakness. When we're weak, we pray. Sometimes we could be so weak in our weakness that we don't even know what to pray for. What do we do then? Well, God has sent His Holy Spirit to help the communications between the beleaguered child of God and the Father. You know, I see that even in my own family. You know, you've Zoe, and then there's me. And there's a communication difficulty. And sometimes Eva comes in and says, Zoe, what is it you're saying? And she communicates what Zoe is unable to communicate to me. That's a very poor illustration, because God is not limited like me as a father. But we are so much like Zoe. Sometimes we don't know what we want to say. We don't know what, but the Holy Spirit comes and He helps us communicate with the Father. Here's the Father's concern, that we not be left on our own, that we not be left to struggle in our own in anything as we seek to grow like His Son. Here's His concern to help us at every step of the way. The devil, Satan, would have us focus so much on the to-dos. We need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do that. He would have us focus so much, in a sense, even on what Christ has done, that we forget that Jesus sent His Spirit to help us so that we are not on our own, that we are not left helpless, but we have one to enable us, to encourage us, to walk with us, to help us to walk, to help us to pray, to help us to read, and who will develop in us the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the kindness of your Father. And so don't see the fruit of the Spirit as a divine checklist that He looks at and goes, they don't have that, they don't have that, they don't have that. See it as His to-do list in your life. And then take that to-do list and work with Him in excitement and say, yes, I know You want to develop these things. I see where I need to develop them. Help me by Your Spirit to do each of these things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for Your supreme mercy to us. For we are not fit to be left on our own even after You have rescued us from judgment. Even after You've forgiven us, we are still tiny babies who need help. And You, in Your grace and mercy, have promised and supplied such perfect help. And Lord God, we thank You that You are doing something so rich and beautiful in us, that You would make us like Yourself. Oh Lord God, thank You that we who are dust could have such a glorious privilege. But Lord God, help us to work with the Spirit. Help us to hear Your Word and to turn from sin and to seek to put on the garments that the Holy Spirit is working and is holding out to us for us to put on. Lord God, help us in this so that we will bring much glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when people look at us, they will not see us, but they will see something of Jesus. And that even in that, they would be drawn towards the loveliness of Christ. That people would say to us, there's something about You. What is it? Father, we ask your help with the sweet assurance that you will give it. In Jesus' name, amen.